My name is Ehud Kalliner, and in the next 20 minutes I will talk about the insidious reintroduction of white poliovirus into Israel in last year. I have no relationships to this club. I will start with a very short background, then I will describe the event and our response, and finally the current status and the lesson learned from it. So in 1988, the World Health Assembly had a resolution to eradicate poliomyelitis by the year of 2000. It took a bit more time, but 2 years ago, polio was endemic in only three countries, Nigeria, Pakistan, and Afghanistan, with only 223 cases. And it looked like this eradication plan is working. Unfortunately, last year, the virus started to spread around with 86% increase of paralytic cases, and the virus spread from Pakistan to Egypt and Israel, and from Nigeria to the Horn of Africa. All those years, since 1988, there have been no polio cases in Israel, and since June 2002, Israel was certified as a polio-free country. So after Israel was certified as polio-free, we stopped vaccinating with OPV, the oral polio vaccine, according to the WHO recommendation. It means that until a year ago, 9 cohorts of children have been vaccinated with only IPV, the inactivated polio vaccine, which gives very good protection against the virus but does not induce gut immunity as good as OPV and cannot prevent its shedding to the environment. The covering rate of IPV in Israel is very high in general, between 90 to 97%. It depends on the area and the subgroup. The level of protection against polio was very high too, above 98%, according to a serologic survey done last year. And after the outbreak in 1988, as one of its lessons, Israel implemented an environmental surveillance in order to detect the white poliovirus before it will cause paralytic cases by systematic sampling of sewage treatment facilities representing up to 40% of the Israeli population. So, at the end of May last year, we had a report of identification of wild type 1 poliovirus in sewage sample from Ra'at, a Bedouin city in the south part of Israel. The type of virus was the same as the one circulating in Egypt 6 months before and in Pakistan in recent years. In a retrospective analysis, it was indicated that the wild poliovirus introduction into the area was in early February in two cities, Ra'at, as I mentioned earlier, and also Be'er Sheva, as a major city of the south part of Israel. We observed a dramatic rise in plaque numbers since then. The immediate response included several steps. First, we implemented an IPV active catch-up campaign among children to enhance the protection level and also to enable later the use of OPV. Since IPV prevents the known side effect of OPV, vaccine-associated paralytic polio, VAP, achieving above 98% coverage among children. At the same time, we conducted consultations with Israeli and WHO experts to decide upon our next step. So after this immediate response, intensified clinical surveillance was conducted, including two components. First, we monitored all AFP, acute flaccid paralysis cases, in all age groups, and not only up to the age of 15 years, as done routinely, getting 100% surveillance index. And second, a national aseptic meningitis surveillance was performed during July and August to increase the sensitivity of the clinical surveillance system. A total of 157 cases were reported nationally. None was positive for poliovirus, and 64 cases were positive for other non-polio enteroviruses. Our National Virological Laboratory developed a new molecular assay in addition to the plaque assay. The new assay, after it was validated, enabled us to have answer from the intensified surveillance in few days instead of weeks, and we could monitor the situation and evaluating our policy in almost real time. Here you can see that the molecular assay results had very good correlation with the plaque assay in 20 fluid samples. So based on the new molecular method, in addition to the clinical monitoring, we also intensified our environmental surveillance, sampling sewage of 80% of the population, and increase the sampling frequency in positive sites from monthly to weekly basis. And last important step was the stool survey. From the very beginning, we started to plan ASIAs, a supplemental immunization activity. But we needed to identify the target population, age, and location. This tool service served two purposes. First, it helped to characterize those who excrete the virus in order to give them OPV. And second, it helped to prove to the public that the virus is not only in the sewage, but also in real people who can suffer from clinical consequences. As you can see, the survey showed that children under the age of 10 were almost exclusively those who were shedding the virus, especially among the Bedouin community. So after gathering all this data, it was clear that those cohorts of children who were vaccinated with IPV only were also those who were shedding the virus and spreading it, since they didn't have gut immunity. And in order to stop the transmission and prevent any paralytic cases, we have to give them OPV. So after the decision to give OPV was taken, we executed a second stage response that included three steps. First, we gave a single BOPV dose to children under 10 years in south part of Israel. And after two more weeks, this SIA was expanded to the entire country in accordance with the positive results from sites other than the south. And eventually, a second dose was given to children in the epicenter of the event. One of the biggest challenges of the event was the risk communication challenge, especially due to the fact that we, luckily, didn't have any clinical cases to present to the public, and also because the OPV was given to children who were already protected because they got IPV in the past, in order to protect other susceptible people. In this picture, you can see the president with a child getting a vaccine supporting the SIA. So what is the current status and the summary of the event? The vaccination rate with the first dose of BOPV was 79% among the target population, including 90% in the epicenter of the event. And the vaccination rate with the second round was 50%. We had no clinical cases of polymyelitis throughout the entire event. On January this year, BOPV was included in routine vaccination schedule with two doses at the ages of 6 and 18 months. High concentration of white poliovirus were found in 6 Bedouin cities and 2 large cities in the south, the full gray triangles. Lower concentrations of the virus were found in 14 sampling sites, representing mostly mixed Arab Jewish populations in the center of the country, the empty red triangles, and in the north part, all sampling sites were negative, the green triangles. Persistent positive results were detected in 6 Bedouin communities with gradual decline until disappearance. So, as I said, polio transmission was intense and prolonged only in 6 sites in the south of Israel. On November last year, we saw steep decrease in transmission by environmental surveillance and traced the virus only by very sensitive molecular tests. At the beginning of March this year, we saw complete disappearance of any trace of the virus from the sewage from all sites but one. And after the end of that month, the last site has become negative. In addition to the sewage results, a second stool survey was performed during and after the SIA, and the results strengthened the sewage results. Since November last year, of more than 1,000 sampled individuals, only one had borderline positive results. This graph summarizes the event. The blue line represents the presence and the load of the virus in the sewage, and the red and the green lines represent the vaccine coverage in the first and second dose, respectively, in the bedroom city lot. It is clear that a few weeks after the first dose, a significant decline of the viral load in the sewage was achieved, but it took a few more months to have persistent negative results. So what are the lessons we learned? First, the introduction and sustained transmission of white poliovirus in IPV, highly vaccinated population, is possible. No country is safe. Second, environmental surveillance is crucial for early detection and monitoring intervention. Third, the response should be evidence-based and time is needed for acquiring data to reach consensus among healthcare professionals, to consult external experts, and to gain public trust. Communication is a major factor for compliance with vaccination. Proactive and rapid risk communication to the public in all forms of media should be conducted, including the traditional media, continuous presence and rapid response in the new media and social networks, and the help of community leaders if there are. And finally, for the polio endgame plan, the role of OPV should be reconsidered. As was asked in Science last year, we do believe that a new chapter in the epidemiology of polio was written during this event. I would like to thank all of the agencies that helped us, and thank you for listening.